Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Hey, good morning, everybody. So I'm going to read a couple of short suttas from the Anguttara Nikaya. This is from the Book of Twos, Suttas 125 and 126. Bhikkhus, there are these two conditions for the arising of wrong view. What two? The utterance of another person and careless attention. These are the two conditions for the arising of wrong view. And then 126. Bhikkhus, these are the two conditions for the arising of right view. What two? The utterance of another person and careful attention. These are the two conditions for the arising of right view. So by hearing the Dhamma from other people, from teachers, or even reading it from a book like I'm doing now, this obviously teaches us that about the Buddha's teachings, and we can get right view from that. Sammāditti. And it's interesting how just where we direct our attention, that too leads to right view. And if we don't direct our attention carefully, then wrong view arises. So that's kind of interesting. Like there's oftentimes a distinction made between two kind of levels of right view. Okay, so there's kind of mundane right view, just what views do you agree to, just intellectually agree to. So that's kind of the more simpler kind of mundane right view. You know, do you just agree with the Buddha's teachings just with your mind? Okay, and then there's kind of a deeper right view. They call this noble right view. And this is when these beliefs and then practices as well, you know, this would include meditation, leads one to actually breaking through to seeing the Dhamma, breaking through to a peace of heart, you know, a brightness of heart. When there's, let's say, the Brahma Viharas or even the Jhanas. And this is called noble right view. Okay, it's like an experiential understanding. It's something you feel. It isn't merely thinking about the teachings or just a reasoned over agreement with the teachings. So noble right view has this energetic, heavenly, you know, level to it. And I feel that these two suttas here, when they talk about the arising of wrong view or the arising of right view, I think they are, I think these suttas are referring to this deeper level, this noble right view, because that does actually matter a lot as to where we direct our attention, whether one is going to break through to this heavenliness or not. Yes, one certainly needs to have agreed earlier on to the Buddhist teachings in a general way, but whether we're going to break through to these deeper states, these more heavenly, peaceful states, it's going to matter a lot as to where we direct our attention and sustain that attention until we kind of break through. Just as these suttas are speaking of, careless attention or careful attention, where the attention is directed has all the difference here. And it's not so much just what you agreed to earlier on with a mundane right view. There's many similes talking about this. There's one that comes to mind where the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, are compared to a snake. And if you grasp a poisonous snake by the neck, like right behind its head, it can't bite you. But if you grasp a poisonous snake by its tail, it can bite you. You know, it can kind of... It matters a lot how you grasp the snake. And the Dhamma is like that. It's easy for us to wield it incorrectly. It's surprisingly hard to kind of grasp it just right, and then we don't get in trouble. It's surprisingly hard. My favorite sutta of them all, the cook, I keep mentioning this. The cook also has a nice simile of, as practitioners, Buddhist practitioners of meditation, we should always be adjusting how we meditate to that which works, you know? What sort of meditation can we do? And then we break through to the Brahma Viharas or the jhanas. Just like a cook pays attention to what the king wants to eat, and the cook adjusts his style. He adjusts how he cooks, what he cooks. He pays attention. He doesn't just make whatever he wants. He serves the king. He watches the king. So the Dhamma's like that. There's kind of a dynamic, you might say, quality to it where, sure, we can study the teachings up and down. We can read the books over and over again. But when it comes time to practice it and live it, we do have to have a sense of adjusting what we do and where we direct our attention. Okay, so these suttas... emphasizing the careless attention and careful attention, you know? There's this funny saying that we use in English. Maybe you know this. Throwing something at the wall to see if it'll stick. Has anybody heard this phrase before? So, let's say I had a plate of fruit or something, you know, different fruits. And I just, you know, threw them at the wall one at a time to see what might stick, you know. So I throw an apple at the wall. No, it bounces off the wall, lands on the ground. No, that didn't stick. Okay, I'll throw a grape. No, that doesn't stick. Oh, but then I have a very mushy banana, a ripe, sticky, mushy banana, and I throw that at the wall. Ah, splat, that sticks on the wall. Ah, that one stuck. You see? There's like this saying, you know, throwing things at the wall to see what'll stick. And this is kind of a saying you can use if sometimes you meet people and they just keep trying solutions one after another, and they're not really sure if it'll work or not. And they just keep trying them one after another, and hopefully one of them is the correct solution. And And if one does this too, shall we say, too much or too, you know, if one is too unskillful and makes too many wrong tries, you know what I mean? Before you find the right solution, people might accuse you, like, oh, you're just throwing those solutions at the wall to see what'll stick. So there's kind of a shall we say, there's an expertise or there's like a skillfulness in having a sense of knowing what will work, you know, what thing will stick. Like if I looked at the pile of fruit and I saw the mushy banana, oh, okay, that's mushy, it's sticky. That's the one that'll probably stick. I'll throw that one first. You know what I mean? If we're wise, we think it over. We don't waste our time throwing the apple and the grape and the orange, you know, none of those things stick. So the Dhamma is like that, where or at least it's been my experience that over time, there are certain teachings that I find do work for me better and faster. And it's quite particular to my personality. It's particular, you know, to where I, or kind of how I'm feeling that day, or, you know what I mean? It's, if I go straight to those suitable teachings, I can get to the solution faster. I can have a day that isn't just a boring, flat, you know, kind of dry, unpleasant meditation. You know, I can actually get something out of it that feels good, you know, peaceful, much easier. So yeah, there is this, there is kind of a paradox then, isn't there? Do you know this word paradox? Paradox means like a strange problem, and it's not obvious. A paradox. So, yes, Buddhist monks should learn the Dhamma, you know, and we're eager to teach it. We believe in it strongly. We love it. And there's a lot to learn. There's, you know, look at how thick these books are. There's so much Dhamma. And there's this sense of like, well, let's have a good awareness of everything in there. Let's not miss anything. If there's something really valuable, we should know. Maybe there's some gems that we, you know, might really help, and you, we don't want to miss out on any of those gems. So there is that. It's like, well, yes, let's not miss out on any gems. That's going to require a comprehensive knowledge. But then suttas like this, like I just read, which emphasize careless attention and careful attention make all the difference as to whether we even have right or wrong view. And I feel it's talking about noble right view, like do we break through to the peace or not? Peace of heart. It isn't just about reading the books. So here's the other side of the paradox. We can read the books over and over again, and but if we have careless attention, we won't really get anywhere. At the end of the day, we do have to care about which Dhamma we're going to turn to bring success in our practice. Just like the cook cooking the right thing that the king wants to eat. Or me throwing the mushy banana at the wall and it sticks. You know, I picked the correct fruit off the plate. It stuck. Okay, so yeah, there's kind of a paradox. We do need to care which teachings work for us. But at the same time, we don't want to miss out on any gems in the teachings. So that requires a comprehensive knowledge of it. Okay. All right. So any questions? Okay. Let us now invite our departed relatives, friends, and all beings to rejoice in the merit we have made. Let us recite together.
Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang no nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Eta wata cha amhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya.
Let us make an aspiration for Nibbana. Please repeat after me.
Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang Nibbanasa pachayo hotu.